This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 6 is our main text today. Luke chapter 6. And I want to show you something that I think is the main defense against any storm in this world, whether it's a hurricane, a tornado, a mudslide, a flood. This is the greatest defense that I know in the world against any kind of natural disaster, spiritual disaster, emotional, relational disaster, whatever we're going through, because they're all storms, aren't they? They all last. And the self-inflicted storms, by the way, I think probably 50, 60, 70, 80% of our most of our storms are self-inflicted. Chuck Swindoll said in one of his old books, Seasons of Life, it's 90% attitude, 10% is what happens to you. 90%. I believe that. I believe, because we all go through things, don't we? You know, the only thing about it, it's different when you go through it is it's you. Yesterday, I was in a fishing tournament. Me and my brother-in-law, you know, we used to fish and hunt so much when we were younger, and I lived down there. We would quail hunt and fish. I mean, we just loved it. And so we've reconnected in that respect. And he's got a little plant he works for down there. It's a sand plant, and he's got some great ponds on there, and he can get me in. Thank you, Jesus. And we went yesterday, and we got out there about 7 o'clock in the morning, and man, we tore the bass up. It was an awesome day. But about 1 hour into the little fishing, we're in my two-man bass boat, and we're out there, you know, and we have life jackets. You're supposed to either wear them or have them in the boat, so we have them, you know, for the plant's protection, you know. And so we're sitting there, and I turn around, and I threw this way, and he's throwing that way, and I'm just tearing them up, you know, and he is too. And all of a sudden, he reels back, and his lure hangs my rod. And he, voom, like this, and it pulls my rod up, and the lure went right in my shin bone here. And my skin, and it went up past the barb. Right in the middle of fun, here comes a storm. And I thought, I'm not even an hour into this. I am not quitting fishing. If I have to sit here with a hook in my leg for 7 hours, I am not quitting. We've already registered to win, and man, we're tearing them up. And, you know, unless Jesus comes, I'm here. You understand? And so... I have to take and I unscrew the lure. It's the back three-prong plug, and I unscrew it. So now it's just just that in my leg. And I try to back it out, and it will not back out, and blood starts running down my leg. And I thought, well, the only way I'm going to get it out is push it through. So I start pushing. Do you know how tough your hide is on your leg? I start pushing, and honestly, the skin's going up this far, and it still won't come through. A sharp hook. I thought, well, how did it get in from the other side? And I thought, oh, it's velocity, you know. Phoom, you know, in a tornado, a straw can go through a piece of wood with the right velocity, you know. And so, but anyway, finally, I start getting warm, you know, because it's hurting. I mean, it's painful, but, you know, the fish are calling. What can you do? I thought, I'm not getting out of this boat and going to the doctor. I'm, you know. And so I'm going to put my life jacket on. So if I pass out and fall in the water, I won't drown. How did Pastor drown? Well, he was fishing and he had a hook in his leg and he wouldn't go to the doctor and he drowned. Boy, but he was happy. He was just tearing those fish up. So finally, I get my little needle-nose pliers, and I put them right on the thing and hold just a little bitty gap so the skin... Oh, Thelma's got to leave. Okay. Anybody else weak stomach? I'll be through in about 2 minutes. Right. Thelma falling over there. Here. And so anyway, I put them down there like that, and I'm pushing hard, and finally the point comes through. Whew! We've got point now. Good deal. And I'm telling you, if you ever get a hook, it's hard. It's harder than you think. And so finally, boom, and it comes through, and I cut it off and throw it away. And man, I'm fishing again. But I've seen people in a similar situations, and they have to quit, and it's a big dramatic thing, and they go to the doctor, and it ruins their day. And I'm just saying, It's how you look at a storm that's going to make you or break you. Thelma, you can come back in now. Somebody might need to see if she passed on out there. But I was, you know, was happy. Everything's going well. He didn't aim to do it. I didn't aim to, you know, I mean, it was an accident. But it's still a storm. It's, you know, it's a storm. And how we look at it, and that's why I want to read you this today in Luke chapter 6, in verse 46. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Why do you call me Lord? I know a lot of people, don't you, that call him Lord and they don't do the things he say. You know, they just don't. They have a lifestyle that contradicts what God's word says that we should live and do. And we all do in some phases and respects at times. You know, that's why we struggle and the flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. And that's where we create our own storms. And that's why I think most of us create the storms we have. It's self-inflicted. Is right here. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he's like. Now, there's two things there, he says. Number one, you've got to hear it. That's why he said we need to go out and share his word, because they need to hear. But that's, you know, we can know all kinds of word and not do his will. But he said, he that hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And then he begins to paint us a picture, like a word picture of a building, a strong building that's going to endure tornadoes. And he says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And you get the picture of that. He dug deep until he hit rock. And once he hit rock, he says, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it. See, there's the key. If we're hearing the word and we're doing the word, it's going to make a difference in every storm that you and I face. I mean, that's what the Word of God says. This is the best defense against storms that I think we have, bar none, unless you're an atheist. And then you can just go back to whatever, you know, you better get to the cellar. That's your better defense. But if you're a Christian, if you're one of God's, if you're a son or a daughter of God, this is our best defense against any, if it's an F5, I don't care what it is, this is our best defense because this is what Jesus said. But, verse 49, he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth and without a foundation. You just go out there on the dirt and build a foundation, and against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. Immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. The ruin was great. And you see that in the world. A funeral director, one time I used to do a lot of funerals for Vondel Smith. That's where we was on the south side, and that's where most of our parishioners would have their funeral. And so I got to know some of their elders there, and great men of God. And he told me one time, he said, "Jack, there's no comparison to a funeral and the families of a Christian family and a non-Christian family." He said, "It's just like night and day." He said, "The Christian families band together, and they have the peace of God." And said, it's just a... You know, and the non-Christians that come in, and he said they have no hope, and they're broken because now they have no hope of ever seeing their loved ones again, and they have no hope after this, and they're gone, and they don't know what to do, and he said it's just like night and day. And here's the key to the Christian family, he says, when you hear my word and you obey my word, and by the way, that's a tall order, isn't it? It's a tall order to always obey the Word of God. We struggle with a lot of things in here that's just hard. That's all. They're just hard to live. I made a comment. We went out with some friends for dinner the other night for my birthday, and they met us, and these particular friends, their faith has been shaken because of this very thing, and it took them a long time, and they're just now, and this has been many years ago, just now getting back spiritually, but they've come back in, and it's good. It's so exciting to see them praying again and believing again, because they had a loss in their life, and it was God didn't answer their prayer, and the loved one went on to be with the Lord, and it just shook them to their core, and they've been out of church for a long time and wouldn't pray. And when we first started hanging around them, something happened. They'd say, "Well, you'll be in our thoughts." And I appreciate people, and you know, thinking about me, but I would rather be in your prayers. I would rather you talk to God about my needs when I have one. And so I appreciate it, but, you know, I just, in fact, the prayer warriors is the ones I run to whenever, you know, Addie's missing, pray. You know, Cindy calls, Addie's missing, pray. We will, you know. And Addie was found. Last night she just drove me nuts. I think, man, well, I don't know if it'd been that bad. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. This is our foundation, church. This is it. Hearing and doing the word makes you ready for storms. You watch. You watch the people that are obedient and doing the word that they know to do, that's hard to do, and you watch. They just, they stand. Something comes along, they just stand. And this couple that were, I made a statement about Summer. I said, you know, if Addie hadn't made it, you know, just knowing our human nature, I said, I don't know. I was thinking to myself, and I didn't say this at the time, but I thought, I don't know if Summer will make it. And all of a sudden, her eyes filled with tears. I mean, just we're sitting there, and you could tell it just shot in her heart like an arrow. And I thought, this is the one that had lost her little one and all, and it probably maybe that was coming back. But I love what she said to me, and she really scolded me, and she said, but you are not putting God in the picture. You're thinking in carnal terms. And I thought, yes. I was. And I never doubt God. When something comes, when I thought I might lose Jana, I didn't know if it's all spread in her body. I didn't know what the extent. And we're talking about the possibility of her going on. And I made mention to you all that I don't know if I'll survive. And some of you just shook you to your core, you know. But it really made you pray for me. Thank you very much. Because that's what I felt. I thought, you know, we've just been together for 40 something years, and man, it's, I don't know, and we're close, and so it shook me, and she mentioned that, and she mentioned that, and she said, you're not putting God in the picture. And I said, that's exactly right. Thank you for that critique. Because it would take the grace of God for me, it'd take the grace of God for Summer, it's taken the grace of God for you, it took the grace of God for Thelma when Cliff left this planet. It takes the grace of God when it's bigger than us. And he says this is the foundation of that, is knowing and obeying God's word. And it starts here. Now, we don't think it does, just, well, yeah, I obey God, but that's why we need to stop thinking and start saying, this is what God said, this is what will make me strong in a storm. That's why I need the Word of God. That's why I need to walk in this Word of God. And every time we don't walk in the Word of God, I'm going to tell you something, our foundation is shaken to the core. You watch people around you when they begin to go out. And I've watched couple after couple. One of them would come and faithful members of our church, and they would be going out, and they'd get, something would be stirring, and what they did, they found lust with someone else, and all of a sudden their marriage is dissolved and their life has changed, and now they're living in adultery. And I mean, it's a vicious cycle, because when you veer from this, man, I'm telling you, your foundation is not strong. And when your foundation isn't strong, watch it, because whatever's around you is going to shake you, and it's going to take you down. I'll tell you something else about a storm. A storm doesn't make you. A storm reveals you. You can take that to the bank. A storm does not make you. A storm reveals who you are. Summer was sharing with us this weekend. They came down and spent the night. And she said, you know, Dad, she said, the teachers that were calm during the storm and reassuring to all their students said, those kids, most of them aren't having issues, emotional issues right now. Addie was privileged enough to have Mrs. Veach. Isn't that her name? Mrs. Veach. And somebody asked her, I think it was a reporter from the Washington Post, were you afraid, Addison? She said, oh, no, Miss Veach was with us. I thought, it's an F5 tornado. But Miss Veach said, it's going to be okay. I got you. Now, even if they're blown away, wouldn't you rather hear that than, oh, my God, before you'd win? And it showed some of the teachers, and that's what they were like. And one of them, she had her phone on, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. and she's just screaming and screaming. And they said the teachers that are with the kids that were those kind of teachers, and I'm not faulting the teachers. I may have been screaming too. You may have been screaming too. We were in that situation with, well, you don't know until you're there and it's falling on your head what you're going to do. But I'm just saying the foundation, when it's shaken, and her foundation, Mrs. Veach's foundation, was there, and she was projecting that, and they're absorbing that. Same way with you and your family. What are you projecting? You go through things, and you watch people that don't have a good foundation, and they're a mess, and they spread that mess everywhere, all over their families. You watch. And then you watch the ones that have a good foundation. They're living and knowing the Word. You watch them, and they're like, God is in charge here, and God's gonna, you know, and and I like being around those kind of people, don't you? That's one thing about my wife, that her work, wherever she goes, they appreciate. I wouldn't say most, because she's intelligent. And she offers a lot of, but one of the key things that she offers is calm in the midst of mess. I can remember here before we had a huge children's church going, and on Wednesday nights, and one of the ladies asked her, could you just come in? And she said, what do you want me to do? She said, just come in and show up. Because she stands over there, and there's Miss Jana. Because they know she'll just address the storm in a calm manner, in a firm manner, and, you know, but she's going to, and some of you are like that. And then some of you maybe need to grow to be like that. But how do you address storms? And because it reveals you. A storm reveals who you are. It doesn't make you. And, it, you know, look in verse 45 in our text here. We'll just back up a verse. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Huh? See, what's in your heart's going to be revealed. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, what's already in there, storm doesn't put that in there. What's already in there, from now the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. One of them saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. All right, children, calm down. We're okay. The other's going, oh, my God! That was just in there. It didn't make them. It's just in there. That's what came out. And by the way, sometimes I'm not too impressed what comes out of my mouth when I'm in a storm. How about you? Just not too impressed with me. It's like I had to make apologies for, you know, sending out the books. It's, you know, that's the way it is, and so that's the way it is. I watched the news this week on the same news program, two different people. Here, just give you an illustration. Two different people. There was I don't remember where it was, but they were in a fast food restaurant. The mother has her tray, she's walking to her table, and there's a little one about this tall, just following along behind. And all of a sudden, a minivan loses control and blunges through the wall, and there's glass and debris, and they're showing it in slow motion. She's got her tray, and she drops it, and she's turning, and all the glass and things hitting her, and the van is, I mean, just right here, coming through, and it's still scooting things, and she runs. But she doesn't run from the van. She runs to the child that fast. She just turns, and she scoops him up, and she's taking off. But I thought her first priority was that little one. It wasn't her life. And by the way, if how many of you ever remember Seinfeld? George Costanza. I thought about that when I saw this. They had an episode where George Costanza, there's smoke in a bar or wherever he's at, and he starts knocking old ladies over and people over, and he's running out of the bar. And they call him on it. And George says, I was clearing a path for everybody. Oh my goodness, clearing a path. So if you're a runner, you might just use that, you know. But a lot of us are like George. We want to be like the mother, you know. Just, I mean, the first focus. I thought that's motherhood, man. That's its best, isn't it? Just turning and with the stuff still coming, she scoops the kid up and they weren't hurt. They didn't go have, you know, kill. I'm sure she had glass all in her and things, but they were okay. Then it showed another picture, and the sports, when the sports came around, and there's a young man, and there's a ball hit in his area. They kept saying a $3 baseball, $5 baseball, whatever it was, and it lands over to the edge, and he's looking at the baseball, and he has to run. There's a kid about this, and he just boils over him, knocks him down on concrete, and runs and snatches up the ball. from the abundance of the heart. And I thought, if I'm that kid's dad, I might put something, I might give you a lesson for the heart. And I'm sure if that mother was there, I'm sure she gave him a good lesson for his heart. Are you kidding me? I'll buy you a ball. You know, knock my kid, I kid, you know. You don't mess with the mama and her chicks, right? But in the same newsreel, I thought, and that's a graphic illustration of what was in the heart. Now, I want us to go to Jonah, the book of Jonah, and I'll show you another graphic illustration. Because here's a guy, and the reason I want us to look at Jonah is because here's a guy that, you know, he fits this mold. He is a doer of God's word. He's a great evangelist. He's Billy Graham status evangelist for their day. And so he, you know, he's doing the word. But here's what I wanted you to get. We can do the word, and in one area, and by the way, we all have one or two areas that we, you know, we're good at, and then that one or two, man, that's our struggle area. I don't know if God did that, so we had to be dependent on people to show us and you know, or why that is. But it seemed like all of us have one or two areas, you know, patience. My patience, you know, with you go in a store or something and it's just clogged, or you know, a line, or and it's done. For instance, there's a restaurant at our little town, and we love that little restaurant, and we ate there frequently up here, but we don't go there very often because you can go in on a day that's not very busy and the service is just not good and the food may come out good or not, and you know, we just don't go there. You know, and then there's another place in town that we visit all the time because it can be packed and they're going to get you in. They're going to have good service. They're going to open the door for you when you come. They're going to open the door when you leave. It's just good service from the time you come in to the time you leave. And stuff like that, when I see that kind of service, it just drives me nuts. I think most of us in this room could do anything and do good at it because there's people like that out there competing. It's like, really? Really? So that's one of my areas, is patience when it's just poor leadership and poor, you know, halfway done and undone and kept. But we all have a thing, and then God comes along and you know. So let's look at Jonah, verse 1, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. I love the way he called it a great city. It's a great city. It's got sinful, lousy people, but it's a great city. That's what God is doing. He's distinguishing between the people and the city. Listen, that's what we should do with when we're looking at somebody and we can't stand them. We shouldn't say, I can't stand them. We should say, I can't stand what they're doing or what they represent. Big difference, isn't there? Would you like somebody to say that about you? I can't stand them. I Adam Dilly, I can't stand him. Oh, no, I just can't stand this about what he, you know, this thing or. Whoever it is, everybody loves Adam and everything about him, but I'm just saying, whatever it is with whoever, make that distinction. The great city, but he's getting ready to destroy this city because the people aren't. That great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here's a question we've been asking, right? During the storm. Does God send a storm or is it Satan? The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Now there's some stuff in here I want you to get. There was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken. Is this Jonah's ship? No. Is there other people on board? Yes. Do they have anything to do with Jonah's rebellion? No. Are they suffering just like Jonah? Yes. Now keep that in mind, because when the storm comes through and innocent people are lost, I just want you to know, I think, here's what I believe, church. I believe that in every storm, there's a purpose. More than just climactic conditions. I believe God has a purpose in every storm. I believe God knows that every storm, before the radar hits and the warnings go out, where it's going, what it's going to do, and who it's going to take and who it's going to leave. That's an all-knowing, almighty God. Now, the reason we have a problem with that is because he blows our house down. And Summer's getting less stress than Michael about that because they're getting a new house. But, man, that's stressful. The other night when Blake Shelton was here and raised $6 million for his hometown and his home state, Summer said the last song was, "I Want to Go Home." She said, and it hit me, I can't go home. I don't have a home. She said, so I had to get up out of the room and go to the other room. I thought, I thought, man, I would have took that song different too, wouldn't you? If I'd just lost my home in the storm? That's what I'm saying. See, she's having to process. We're having to process. And I thought it was a beautiful song. Him and Usher sang it. And beautiful song. But I thought, if I'd lost my home, I would have had a different take on that song with my storm. So we have to be sensitive to what, you know, what was blessing me was tearing her up. Because she couldn't go home. She could go to mom and dad. She can go. She got places to go, but it's not home. So here these guys are, innocent people on the boat, experience the same storm because of one stinking rebellion Christian. Here's a question for you. How many people's had to suffer because you've been a stinking rebellious Christian? Plenty for me. How about you? Come on. Take your halo off and say amen. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. Well, at least they had one, didn't they? And they threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. Now, somebody just suffered a big loss here, their paycheck, maybe for months' salary that they just lost because of this rebellious group. Had nothing to do with them. They just let the wrong man on their boat. And you have to wonder, who was in more in that line that wasn't righteous? Who in that line wasn't holy? Who was God getting the attention of in that line? And innocent people lost all their paychecks, their lives, their homes. Who was in their boat when the strong wind came by? It's got to wonder. Well, Addison was. She was in that boat. She didn't do anything. She loves God. We'll go out to meal. We can't hardly pray for her. I want to pray. We love you, Jesus. Bless our food. Amen. That's about her deal, but hey, that's good enough, isn't it? I'm glad she don't go on and on and on when I'm hungry. They threw the cargo over in to lighten their load because of Jonah. But Jonah, the rebellious Christian that has caused this stinking storm, but Jonah had gone into the lower parts of the ship and lay down and was fast asleep. Fast asleep. Everybody else think they're going to lose their life. They're losing their livelihood. And the old rebellious Christian is down there asleep. Reminds me of another boat Jesus was on. He said, get in the boat. We're going to go across. And he went down and he went to sleep. His guys came back and they said, they were on the brink of disaster or danger. The boat was filling up with water and Jesus is just laying there asleep. And I'm thinking, now what was in that storm? Jesus and his guys, here's one thing I caught in that story that I never caught before. It said Jesus and his guys got in a boat to go across, and there was little boats around them. I never picked that up before, but there were little boats around them going across. So there's a little caravan going across. I thought, who was that storm for? Can you imagine? They're evidently in a bigger boat. He's asleep, but here are these little boats. If you're in a little boat and it's about to sink a bigger boat, somebody may have died that day. Who was that storm for? And Jesus was right in the middle of that storm. Who was that for? Here's something I think is worth noting. It doesn't matter who it was for. Jesus knew it's not for me. I'm in the storm, but this storm is not about me. I've done God orders to go across to the other side. And so I don't know what everybody else is going to do. If the boat sinks, I guess I'll just have to walk on water. Because I'm going to the other side. I've got an assignment. Listen to me. Purpose. You should have your purpose in life. And when your purpose is done, maybe God will take you. But until your purpose is done, hear the word and do the word. Find your purpose. And you'll just know, this storm's not for me. I'm not done. This is not, God said to go do this. And I haven't done this yet. I think it'll make a difference when your storm comes if you know what your purpose is. I just know wherever I go and whatever I do after this, after I'm gone from here, I just know that part of what I'll do is always help people find their sweet spot. I always will. I'll always speak somewhere at times. I just will. I don't know where. I don't know how often. I just know I will. Maybe one-on-one at the guy at the street corner. Maybe somebody new that I know. Maybe one of you calling to say, hey, I need to talk. Or I don't know, but I know that I will do that until Jesus comes. So I don't stress about it. We were walking the other day, and Shanna says, I think you're going to have a problem with outlet because you get these thoughts and these sermons and these messages, and what are you going to do with them? And I thought, I'll call Adam. I'm coming. You want to give me a day or you want me to just show up? If nobody, you know, asked me to speak there, would that be okay? I'll come in anyway. I don't care if you like it or not. Because it ain't about you and I'm not proud. But I'm just saying, know your purpose. Know your purpose. He knew his purpose, didn't he? He knew when the storm hit. This is about me. This is, and I'm not dying. He wanted to die. He wanted to die, but he knew he wasn't going to die. is a terrible Christian in this area. Now, in this area, everywhere else, I'm just the anointing's on him and he's a powerful man of God. But this area, he's having a problem and his foundation is being swept away even as he is in this rebellion because of one thing that he's rebellious over. His foundation that he should have is being swept out from underneath him. I don't care how powerful you are or think you are in the kingdom of God. When we get into rebellion, watch your foundation crumble. So the captain came to him, verse 6, and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us. And by the way, in my book, his God has got a capital G. Their God has a little g. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots. Let us cast lots that we may know for who this cause, this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Can I tell you something? God can rig a gambling game if he wants to. I mean, it's just a spin. That's just a gamble. That's all it is. But when the bottle came around, God said, okay, stop. And it pointed to Jonah. Just like that. Just like that. How many saw in the news the other day a young lady let the old 82-year-old lady, I mean the elderly 82-year-old lady, go in front of her for the big lottery, the 300-something million, 500, whatever it was, and she got the winning ticket? I'm talking about purpose. God fixing stuff. They interviewed the young lady. She said, are you mad? Are you angry? How are you feeling? She said, nope. She said, I'm fine. Just wasn't meant to be. I thought, now there's a girl knows her purpose. It might have ruined her life and all the friends around her. I mean, he knows grandma don't have long, so whatever she has left, she'll be out of here before long anyway. I'm telling you, I loved her attitude, though. I told Jan, I said, you have to think, though, you know, grandma's going to send her at least $1 million or something, wouldn't she? I love, you know, when people talk about winning, most people around here say, I'd pay off the church. Yeah, right. So they cast lots, they fell on Jonah. And then he said to them, please tell us for who causes trouble upon us and what is your occupation and where do you come from and what is your country and what kind of people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord in every area but here. I'm not going to Nineveh. It's the one area. Listen, I'm hitting your storm area is what I'm hitting. If it's a continual battle, that's your storm area. You just have to, this is his. I'm not going. Here's the thing. He didn't like the assignment. How many has ever God gave you an assignment you didn't like it? You need to go talk to somebody. You need to call somebody. You need to apologize. You need to, you know, man up, whatever. You didn't want to. You didn't like the assignment. And so you're saying, I'll do anything else, God, but I'm not doing that. And God says, okay, I hear you. Here, fishy, fishy, fishy. And they'll come, won't he? Your storm, whatever your storm, the wind comes, the fish comes, whatever you need, he'll give it for you. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For they knew, listen, they knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Remember his values and his foundation? Everything is strong. He's not lying. He's being forthright and honest, knowing that they're probably going to kill him or do something, but he's ready to die. I'd rather die than go to Nineveh. Kind of makes you wonder why God calls hard-headed Christians, doesn't it? I'll tell you why he calls us. Because we'll get the job done when we're hitting on the right ones. It's when we're not hitting on the right attitude and the right is when we're a problem, children. Okay? That's why. Then they said to him, what shall we do that the sea may calm for us? And the sea was growing more tempestuous because of the old Jonah. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Well, he can't jump. That would be suicide. So he says, you need to pick me up, throw me in. And they start rowing and they rowed. And then they cried out to God and they feared the Lord. But they threw him over and they throw him over. And God, verse 17, prepared a fish. God says, I'm not through with you. I told you to go to Nineveh. A raging sea can't kill you if God told you to go somewhere. Now, I don't know if you believe the story or not. I hope you do as a Christian. I believe it. And I don't think we'll ever realize how awful, God awful it was inside that. Can you imagine high digested fish and that acid in his stomach? And I'll quit right there for Thelma. But you get the picture. It said seaweed was wrapped around his head. I think the thing was eating seaweed to try to say, man, this Christian, I cannot digest him. I'm going to have to eat something. Get some roughage in me, you know. So Jonah prays but there's something I want you to look in here. Let me find it. He says from the fish's belly, he cries out, verse 3 in chapter 2, for you cast me into the deep. He not only sends you a storm, he'll cast you out into the deep if he has to, in deep waters where you feel like you're drowning. You cast me out into the deep, into the heart of the sea. The flood surrounded me, and all your billows and your waves passed over me. He didn't blame it on Satan, did he? He said, this is your doing. This is your fish. I don't think Satan prepares fish to save people, do you? He might prepare them to eat people. He said, this is your doing, God. You just want to know if God's in the storm. I think he's in the storm, don't you? You prepared the fish. These are your billows, your waves, and here I am. And I've been cast down, you know, cast out of your sight, which he hasn't been, but that's how he felt. Verse chapter 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, same word, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. See, God never changed, did he? His attitude didn't change, his word didn't change, because he is the foundation. So when he says it again, he's going to say it just like, and by the way, parents, that's a good way to treat your children. Don't, you know, when we tell our children once and they don't do it, say it with the same kind of a strength and velocity. Don't escalate, because they think you don't mean it until you start screaming, if that's what you do. Don't get caught up in your children's storm. How many knows you can give a spanking or a timeout or whatever your punishment is with a calm spirit? And you can teach your children that, you know what, just your crises doesn't motivate me to go, crazy. It's not going to excite me. When you're disobedient, I'm not getting upset about it. You're just going to pay the penalty. That's all. Addie said she was just bummed out about something yesterday. I think we were boring when we were old. I said, her nanny said, I think maybe you just need an attitude adjustment. I said, would you like a poke in the nose or a whipping? No, neither one. I said, well, then, you know, and we don't poke her in the nose, okay? It's just a funny. And she, no, I don't need that, you know, but she got the gist of it, you know. We got things to do. Now, look in verse 4. He's going to go and he's going to teach, and the king and all the Ninevites, they repent, and now watch. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. He didn't like the assignment. Here's something else that kills us, church. He didn't like the verdict. He didn't like the verdict. You know, the assignment was the tornado coming in. We didn't like it, right? The verdict was lies, laws, property destroyed. That's the verdict. That's the verdict is in. The facts are out there. The water, remember the water that we had? I said we needed so desperately, took 9 lives. The sweet and the bitter of that, that's, you know, that flood was a lot worse for 9 people and 9 families than it was this tornado that took, you know, all the lives. Hey, and by the way, I remember back in May 3rd tornado, there was a little, I think they said she was about 2 years old. You probably saw her on the news when that came through. Somewhere out, I think, around Newcastle or somewhere out in the, huh? That was, okay, the one that had mud all over and sucked out. Okay, thank you. And anyway, she was picked up by a tornado, and they found her out in the field, mud covered, and perfectly okay, other than just being all muddy and nasty. Wow. So you say, no one could withstand that. You can if God prepares a fish for you. He prepared a closet, actually a bathroom for Addison and her little classmates. And they made it. Why didn't he do that for the third graders? I don't know. The verdict is he didn't. And that's where we have to let God be sovereign or it'll drive us nuts. We have to pick up and say the verdict is in. God knew he was in the wind somehow or another. And I'm not sure how, you know, but he was in the wind somehow. We've got too many evidences that he was. But it took the life that I would have wished he had saved. Janet mentioned that this morning, coming to church. She said, you know, if that had happened, we'd be in a different somber mood today probably, wouldn't we? And Addie was back in our car. She stayed all night. She was watching her little, you know, deal. And I said, it probably would. Probably would. But the fact is, the verdict's in for several people in the last few weeks, and it wasn't good. The verdict's in. The houses are gone. The personal stuff's gone, whatever. The verdict is in, and you can't dwell on the verdict. The verdict will drive us insane. Listen, it'll drive us insane if we... This is what he was doing. He's dwelling on the verdict. And it doesn't say whatever happened to him or however he got over that. I'm assuming he went on past it and did his other assignments and with the anointing. When you're doing your assignments, because he didn't... It wasn't that he hated preaching. For some reason, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, these pagans. He didn't want God to forgive. Maybe somewhere down the road, some of them could kill some of his kinfolks. It doesn't say. It doesn't clue us in why he had such a bitterness toward the Ninevites. But it says, I don't like the assignment. I don't like the verdict. And that's where we have our biggest storms, I believe, is where Jonah had his, in our assignment or our verdict. Haven't you had people in your life that just did you dirty and you just... If you thought you could pray it and God would hear it, you'd say, just go ahead and take them out if you don't mind. Just, you know, save them first, but just go ahead and take them on out if you would. I just really don't want to be on the planet with them. I know that's harsh, but, you know, let's get real. Truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. And we struggle with the innocent people, the little kids and all that stuff, just like... We can look at this and say, man, why would he take all that cargo and that pay and scare everybody to death? Hey, and by the way, they all feared God and sacrificed to the God of heaven. That's a good purpose, isn't it? Wouldn't you trade cargo for eternal life? Maybe that was his whole purpose. Maybe God just directed him to that boat because that old captain, he really needs to see me. That somebody on that boat really needs to see who I am. I'm going to show him who I really am. And I got just the perfect preacher. This guy can preach, you know, he could preach about doorknobs and people would repent. Come to God. You know, whatever. And so here they are. But God had a purpose. And so here's what I believe. God is always in the mix. Because this is his planet. The earth is his footstool. He's always in the mix. And that's what brings us security and hope. And that's what brings us anger and stress. Is because we know what God could do but didn't do. Isn't that it? So the assignment and the verdict is where we struggle. It's where we struggle. And it's okay to struggle. And it's okay to tell God whatever you want to tell God. However you say it. Even if it sounds gruff to somebody else, just say it to God. He knows what you're thinking anyway. It'll help you feel better. It'll just, you know, it'll help you. It'll make you, you know. He relented for these guys, for the Ninevites, and Jonah says, I don't like it. I'm angry about it. And God says, well, get over it. Get over it. I want to take you back to our verse and close with this. In our text in Luke chapter 6. Verse 48, I want to tell you one more time now. With this knowledge that we have, I want to tell you one more time. He is like a man. Whoever comes to me, hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you him he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug a deep and laid the foundation on the rock. How many knows your foundation, church, has to be on the rock? You can't be on logic. You can't be on reason. You can't be on preference. You can't be on what you'd like, what I'd like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Lord, thank you for being our rock. Thank you for your word. And I pray that you would help us in our assignments that we really don't like and our verdicts that we just hate. Regardless of what it is. We've been done wrong. We've been cheated. We've been lied to. We've been, our house has been taken. Our love has been taken. Whatever it is, we don't like the assignment. We don't like the verdict. I pray that you'll help us to walk according to what we know and we hear. Because you said when we do that, we're on a firm foundation. And we will not only survive, but we will thrive as your children. Thank you for that promise. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen.